Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Let me do this for you. Let me read to you what somebody has done in their life over the last 3 years, and let me see if it resonates with you. Are you ready for it? Okay, so no longer wake up to an alarm clock. No more three-hour daily commutes. Spend more quality time with family and vacation more frequently. Bought back time from corporate America. On target to replace W-2 income. Oh, by the way, that's the money that comes in from your J-O-B. 2.5 years after purchasing first investment property. And here's my favorite. Live more, stress less. And I'll tell you what, the reason that's my favorite is because I'm all about that. I am all about living more and stressing less. Now, the gentleman that I have on today's show, he was able to do this in a period of about 3 years. And he is a very educated, intelligent person. I mean, he worked a good period of time in corporate America, trading time for money to buy stuff, you know, that did whatever it did in his life. But in 2017, he changed the path that he was on, and he became a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, and he hasn't looked back since. As a matter of fact, before the show started, I was just chatting with him about one of his newest acquisitions. And I'll tell you what, this gentleman has dramatically changed the road that he was on. So let me do this. Let me bring Gerard on, and we're going to have a nice conversation with him, because I want you to understand that what he was able to accomplish, you can do exactly the same thing. Gerard, are you there?
I'm here, Al.
So did I misstate any of that?
That was quite an intro, Al. Thank you for that. All that is true.
How did you do that?
Well, I'll tell you, it first started with a mind shift change of really not being happy living a mediocre life in New York, where I was living in the rat race and I wasn't producing the results I was hoping for. And I, you know, had lived in a place where there was a very high cost of living and a low quality of life. And my wife and I settled on moving to Cary, North Carolina, where it's basically flipped. We have a very, very low cost of living, especially from a tax perspective, and a great quality of life. And we moved here in June of 2017. I could not take my W-2 job with me when I left New York. You know, I tried to ask and see if I could stay on as a remote employee, but the company said, we don't have any employees on payroll in North Carolina. So sorry, bud. You know, and to me, that was probably the best thing. I needed a break. Need to sort of find myself a little bit. I think I was 39 years of age. And a month after I moved to North Carolina, I attended a two-day seminar for Lifestyles in Atlanta. And I had several aha moments on day two at the multifamily portion of the education. And the first one was, I don't need a W-2 job to be able to purchase or to get financing for a multifamily apartment, 5 units and up. I can take capital from, you know, my 401k. I can take money from IRA accounts, and I can take this money, liquidate it, and then deploy it into multifamily property. That was one of the biggest, mindset changes for me. And that's exactly what I've done since I got started investing in early 2018, between purchasing 3 single-family properties, 1 multifamily IRO property, six passive properties and now under contract for a second IRO deal.
You know, I got to tell you that there are people listening to you right now that think that you probably lost your mind back in 2017, that, you know, you walked away from a lucrative career to go to a different part of the country. And at that point, you decided to invest in real estate. And then you went even crazier by tapping into that sacred cow called a 401k. What would you say to people that think you're nuts?
It's what I've done. I've learned that it's a faster way to grow wealth than to take the traditional path of, you know, working until 65 and saving throughout that time. And I think a lot of what people don't understand is that taxes from a W-2 job are just killer. I mean, most people are getting one-third of their hard-earned, you know, time and effort is being taken away from, you know, the tax man. And as a real estate investor, if it's done correctly, you're getting zero taken out of whatever effort you put into your investments. I mean, 33% versus zero, which would you choose? So I learned that, you know, by investing in real estate and, you know, learning an effective math, that things can change quickly. The trajectory for building wealth was massive in terms of investing in real estate or investing in the stock market or 401k, or, you know, spending 40, 60, 80 hours a week trading your time for dollars.
You know, I think it's pretty interesting. I mean, your career prior to real estate, you were focused on finance and trading. I mean, you worked on Wall Street. I mean, you were in the epicenter of, you know, our country when it comes to financial institutions. And didn't they teach you this stuff in business school?
Well, yeah, I mean, they teach you to go out and get a good job and perform to your highest level. And, you know, it worked for me for a little bit, but I just got upset with being, you know, living a mediocre lifestyle, and I was ready to move on from that.
Yeah, I'm there with you, man. I hit that same point in my life. When we come back from the break, we're going to get into Gerard's story because you've got a lot to learn from him. And we'll be back right after this.
It comes a point in time every now and then when the world flips upside down. And during that time, you have to come up with a decision in your life. How are you going to go through this? How are you going to work your way through this process that has no end? So what do you do? The first thing I need you to understand is that almost every entrepreneur out there makes it big when something bad happens. I tripled my net worth between 2008 and 2010. 10 years straight increase in value. It makes us all look like geniuses when everything goes up for 10 years straight. But now we're at the point where we can find out who's good again. And you need to be in there. Because why? Because I tripled my net worth in 2 years. You can do it too, if you know what to do. You need to get into lifestyles right now.
Join us for our free live online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. So if you're just joining us, you're in for a treat because Gerard is a gentleman who, after 17 years of the hustle and bustle, working for, quote unquote, the man or the woman, not trying to be sexist here, he was done. He had finally hit a point in his life where he decided there's got to be a better way. So he literally moved his family out of the great state of New York to the great state of North Carolina, and he started again fresh. So, Gerard, let me ask the question. You walked away from that corporate America in New York City, and you went down to North Carolina and settled in. What, at that time, before you even got involved with real estate investing, what was your game plan going forward? What was going on in your mind?
So the first thing, Al, that I was thinking of doing was, you know, reaching out to all my, you know, colleagues who had contacts in the area that I was moving to, and basically lining up meetings to see how they could help with, you know, employment in my new city, in Cary or in Raleigh. And that game plan would be, wow, I can cut back my commute time to 1 hour a day from 3 hours a day. Salary would probably be a little bit lower than it would be in New York City, but I think getting the time back to me was more important than the money, because I knew that the cost of living was lower. So I wanted a better quality of lifestyle and a lower cost of living, you know, to wherever I was going to be moving to. And that was the first plan, but it didn't work out with any of the people that I really met with. And during that time, I was informed of a two-day seminar that was going on in Atlanta, and wound up attending that just a few weeks after I moved to North Carolina. So I joined as a preferred member September of 2017, and completed all the education requirements before the end of the year. Tapped into my 401k, got that liquidated, so I'd be ready for my first real estate purchase. And that all started in the winter, spring of 2018. And that was the year I consider it it was an investing spree that year. I really was focused on replacing job income, whether it was going to be with one big deal, and that's not the way it worked. It wound up being through a bunch of different deals and different asset classes between single family, multifamily as an independent rental owner, and multifamily as a passive investor.
So what was the first deal you tackled?
I tackled a single family investment in Memphis, in one of the cash flow meccas in this country, where you see rent to values in the 1% range. I was on a buyer's list, and I had some properties sent to me. And the interesting thing about this Class C market in Memphis is that property values are somewhere in the $60,000 to $85,000 range. And for me, that worked great because I was a cash buyer. Without a W-2 job, I'm not qualified to obtain conventional financing. So I went to work and bought these properties cash for replacement income. And last year, I was able to find a lender, actually through the Lifestyles Vendor Program, a portfolio lender who allowed me to take out 70% of that equity, and I kept 30% in, and was able to pull out some equity to be able to get into a couple more passive deals. So, yes, I was able to use some leverage then finally, even without the W-2. Interest rate was a little bit higher, but the plan was to not let equity sit dead, and I had 100% equity in those three properties.
It must have been throwing your ratios out of whack as far as your return on passive income.
It was, but that was, you know, I didn't want to wait too long. There was really not much multifamily inventory where the numbers made sense during that time period. And, you know, I had more than just the 401k. I had a couple of IRAs or rollover IRA that I was able to tap into as well. But my plan was to do it over 3 years, the end of 2017, early 18, and early 19, to spread out that tax liability over multiple years as to not get hit too much in 1 year with, you know, paying the penalty and paying taxes. So that was my strategy there.
Pretty good strategy, if I might, you know, pat you on the back a little bit. But you were going to tell me about that second deal you got into. What exactly was that?
That, Al, is a 16-unit apartment community in Asheboro, North Carolina, about an hour and 15 minutes drive from where I live. What I liked about that deal, it was 100% occupied at takeover, and rents were $50 below a market rate. So I went in there and started getting the, you know, some of the purple Martians out and getting interior rehabs done and getting a lot of these month-to-month leases into more longer-term leases, like 9 or 12 months. And slowly but surely, these rents started to increase dramatically, you know, through the improvement. And I was really setting this property apart from a lot of the comps in the market. At takeover, rents were going for $480 a unit, and these are all two-bed, one-bath apartments. Today, average rent is about $680 or so. It's about a 40 or 42% increase in almost 2.5 years.
That's pretty phenomenal. I mean, how did you manage to get such great increases on your rents?
Well, there was extensive work done, Al, to these interiors. I started with, you know, in terms of paint, we did some gray tint and some white trim to have like a two-tone feel to it. Kitchens, black appliance package, you know, updated hardware fixtures. If the cabinets were in good shape, they'd be repainted or resurfaced. If not, get them brand new, as well as the countertops. Bathrooms, we did all new flooring, vanities, low-flow toilets because the property is master metered and there's no rubs, so that water expense is on me. So that was basically a conservation effort there. We also had the tubs resurfaced, so it had a real nice shine to it, really made the bathrooms pop, and that's usually the cover photo I use for my listings, and it really generates a lot of traffic. Good little tip out there for investors. Bedrooms, we've done new ceiling fans. We've replaced all windows on the property. We got new roofs because there are four fourplexes, so we've got four new roofs on the property. I could go on and on, but that's really the crux of it, Al.
So when you took this property over, it had some, well, we'll just call it deferred maintenance on it, and you had some residents living there that really had no business living there.
Absolutely. You know, there were some issues there with people not, you know, with people living with pests in their apartment, people looking to buy drugs or sell drugs, you know, people that really didn't keep the property the way it should be kept, and those people are no longer there. You know, it was a Class C property that I bought, and so I inherited Class C clientele, and I've improved it to a point where now we have Class B residents, and they are taking care of the property, so that's a good sign.
That's a really good sign. Hey, we're getting ready to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about his strategy that caused him to double his net worth in just 3 years. Stick around. You're going to want to hear this.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. So as we were going to break, I made a promise to you. I said that I would ask Gerard what his strategy was that caused him to double, and you heard me correctly, double his net worth in merely 3 years. Gerard, how'd you do it?
Al, the way I did this was by increasing income on the 16-unit property that I own here in North Carolina. I've to date, have been able to rehab 12 of the 16 units, and I've been able to get the property appraised for double the value of where I bought it from just 2.5 years ago. So I went back to the lender who's currently servicing the loan. This was back in July, and I asked for terms. I'm looking to do a cash out refinance, and I've got pretty good terms. You know, my initial terms were rather high, you know, with the rate. It was over 6%. This is back in the middle of 2018. So, you know, I'd be able to get better terms in regards of lowering the rate and to be able to take out tax-free proceeds to be able to buy my next deal. So I was able to close on the refinance last week of August, pull out roughly $260,000, and because I put down between the down payment and the capital improvements on the property came in just under $260,000, which equates to basically a 100% return. And I still own the property. I still have healthy cash flow. I still get tax benefits. But now the game changer for me is that I could take these proceeds that are tax-free and then roll it into my next investment. And that's how you can, the snowball effect happens, how you can just keep building wealth by using this strategy of buying a property that's tired with deferred maintenance, pumping in some money to create some value, you know, on the exterior, in the interior, raising rents, and then, which in turn raises the net operating income, which increases the value. And now you've got all this equity tied up in a property. It's no good if it's sitting there dead. you know, lenders want to help you out and you know, get a higher loan so you can take these proceeds out, because they probably want you to come back and loan again to you for your next deal. So it's all making sense for me. It's all working out. And I'm excited to tell you that I'm under contract for another property, this time in Rock Hill, South Carolina, 11 units.
So there's some folks out there in the audience that are scratching their heads trying to figure out, wait a minute, how did you get a property to go up in value the way you did? How was it that in like the single family markets, property tends to appreciate, and then you go out and you get an appraisal, and that appraiser comes back and it gives you an opinion of value. But in multifamily, it sounds like you've been able to get that property to go up significantly higher, much faster. How did you do that?
Well, Al, in multifamily, as you know, you can increase the value through forced appreciation by raising rents. The new value of property after you increase rents is not based on like-kind property. It's based on the actual net operating income of that specific property. And when I took over, rents were $480 when the market was commanding, you know, $530, which is, I mean, very, very cheap. But this is a very tertiary market in North Carolina. So little by little, you know, $30 or $40 increases for residents I wanted to keep. And then people either moving out on their own or forcing them out for whatever reason because they weren't taking care of the property allowed me the opportunity to go in there and really pump some money into making everything brand new in these interiors, where rents are going from that 480 level now closer to 695. And people weren't blinking an eye. You know, they liked the property. The comps in the market were not as nice a product as mine. And like I was telling you before, you push rents until someone pushes back, and there really was no pushback. So that was the way I was able to achieve those rent bumps through improving those interiors and taking care of deferred maintenance items like windows, back doors, roofs, parking lot, reseal and restripe. And that was it. That's how I was able to double the property value in 26 months.
Yeah, it's pretty cool how in multifamily, we use a completely different process to determine valuation. It's all based on the income streams. It's based on the prevailing cap rates for the type of asset that you're working with. And by making significant investment into the property, you in turn received great returns from that investment.
Oh, 100%. I mean, it was the big, that refinance was the biggest transaction, you know, of my investing career. And it allows me now to take those proceeds and roll it into my next real estate deal.
So I've got another question for you, and I know you know the answer, and I know the answer too, but I'm going to ask the question anyhow. People are trying to figure out, how did you take money out of a property tax-free? I mean, come on, we're all supposed to pay taxes, right? How did that actually happen?
Well, this was not a sale of a property where you're hit with capital gains tax. A refinance transaction is a tax-free transaction. So by forcing the appreciation now and increasing the equity in the property, now it's just sitting there. There's too much in it. And, you know, I had the opportunity to talk to a lender who said, yeah, we can, you know, give you 75% loan to value on this, you know, either on a capped number or on the appraisal value. And, you know, this was the number that I was targeting for about a year. You know, I was thinking in that between 250 and 270 level. And, you know, I had that vision every day of this is what I need to do to achieve this, to get to this level, and then take these proceeds and roll it into the next one.
Yeah, it's pretty cool how real estate works that way because, you know, it's a financial transaction. And the IRS doesn't really care what you do with any debt you lay on a property or you take off a property. All they care about is whether you transact that property to somebody else. That's the triggering effect for the capital gains.
Right.
Tell me about this 11-unit property. What is it you're looking at, and what is the potential of this thing?
So this 11-unit property is in Rock Hill, South Carolina. It's in an exploding market about 30 minutes from Charlotte. So it's captured in that Charlotte MSA. There are tons of tax dollars and new businesses moving here. Carolina Panthers are having their new headquarters facility being built right now. And I know that there is a government grant of about $40 million that's to be applied towards infrastructure for the city of Rock Hill. This is a yield play, Al. 11 units. Rents have been taken already from $600 a unit to $1,100. But for me, this is like the perfect play to take proceeds from, you know, this the refinance that I just did for my property here in North Carolina and achieve about an 8% cash-on-cash return on day one. I will be able to take advantage over time of natural appreciation in this market as it continues to grow with population increasing, with job growth, and with rent growth. So for me, you know, it's another added passive income stream, which is exactly what I'm looking for. And it's in the location of the property is excellent. It's been operated well, and I will continue to operate it well. So that's the goal here, is just to add another stream, completely opposite, you know, property from what I own now. So I get to see the flip side of the value play versus the yield play. But the immediate cash flow was real. It was a big driver for me.
I'm just sitting here thinking about, you know, that was a property that was commanding rents of at one time $600 a month. And then by doing certain things to the property, the owner that currently has it got those rents up to $1,100. It just tells me that there's some fascinating things going on in that marketplace. We come back from the break. More insider information. Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited Executive Vice President, Business Consultant, and Successful Real Estate Investor Lynn Murrow on the critical difference between those who succeed and those who fail.
Whether you have a small business, whether you are running a division of a large corporation, whether you're a CEO of a Fortune 100 company listening to us right now, or whether you work for somebody else, you have an area of responsibility and you are presented with a novel challenge by a novel virus that's going on right now. And the key to all of that is keeping your head up and looking for opportunity when what you want to do is curl up in a ball and go to sleep. And that is the critical difference between people who succeed right now and people who fail.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our business and provide for our families. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. So before we went to break, I used the term insider trading, and it dawned on me that Gerard had a former life as a, well, you know, he traded stocks for a living. And, you know, that term may have just kind of, you know, set him on edge. So when we went to break, I said, hey, man, I hope it didn't offend you. And he says, man, you kind of brought back a flashback to my former life. And I get it. But anyhow, what I wanted to really express to you is that we're going to talk about some things in this segment. I don't think it's insider trading. I think really what it is just getting inside the mind of somebody who's been able to restructure their entire life by changing the direction that they were going in. And with Gerard, it started with a decision to walk away from, you know, a pretty lucrative job in the financial industry that was paying him very well, but there were things inconsistent with what was important to him that caused him to make that decision to walk away from that and start anew. And fortunately for him, he had some money set aside because he was doing what his financial planner told him to do. And he was able to tap into that money. And by tapping into that money, he was able to replace his income. And in a way where not only did he replace his income, he was able to grow his net worth and to grow his income by investing correctly in real estate. So Gerard, let me start off this segment by asking you this question. How important is goal setting to you?
It's extremely important, Al. I start every year by making a list of, you know, the things I want to accomplish. And not just one area of life, but, you know, in many different subjects. You know, you want to talk about personal health and fitness, financial goals, you know, family goals. And so I put a list together every year and try to stay as close as I can to achieving those. I mean, it's usually a lengthy list. You know, Dell has talked about in the past, you know, it's better to set large, lofty goals than small, wimpy goals and shoot for the stars. So I try to do that every year, and you're better off that way because you're going to achieve more than if you just set a few goals and, you know, and just hit those. So I think goal setting is important, just as important as taking action and having the courage to take action because, you know, I've gone through that. You know, it was a risk to, you know, uproot a family and leave a job and my wife leave her job to move five states away where we basically know nobody and start over at almost 40 years of age. But you know, you have to have a plan. And sometimes it's best to just step back and understand what's important to you. And that's through setting goals. And I wasn't setting goals when I worked as an employee. You know, I was just so focused on, you know, being a people pleaser and making sure that, you know, the boss is happy and getting my work done and, you know, making some other company wealthy and not my own financial future. So to me, goal setting is just key in my life.
What are your goals for the next couple of years? What are the things that are on the horizon that you want to accomplish?
I have passive income goals, and one of them, which I've set for the end of 2021, which is still a year away, but I am trying to achieve $10,000 a month passive income. You know, I believe that that five-digit level, that threshold, is a milestone in many ways and in a very short period of time. Because it would be, if I can get this done by the end of next year, that would be within 4 years of purchasing my first real estate investment. So that's my short-term goal in terms of investing. Longer term, you know, I'd like to stay an independent rental owner. And people in lifestyles have asked, well, when are you going to become a lead? You know, there are people who want to invest with me and want to invest in North Carolina. And right now, I enjoy what I'm doing with my own time, you know, my own money, my own risk. So in the next 6 years, by age 48, I would like to own 100 doors as an independent rental owner.
Now, do you believe those goals are achievable?
100%. I think they can happen. You have to strategize, and, you know, there are ways to do this. You don't have to, you know, with leverage and with 1031 exchanges, absolutely it's possible. You know, just in 2.5 years, I was able to grow a property and grow its property value by double. So if I can rinse and repeat that process over time, I think it's highly achievable. And as a side note, you know, I think one day, my kids are still fairly young. They're 10 and 7, and it's quite a number of years away until they will go to college. But, you know, most people save money for college in a 529 or some other plan. But for me, you know, I can grow the income on a property and do a tax-free cash-out refinance and now have proceeds to put towards college tuition, you know, if my children decide that's what they want to do. So it's definitely not conventional thinking, but it is 100% achievable. And that's my strategy right now if my children decide to choose going to college.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool because you can actually go out and acquire a piece of real estate that produces passive income for you. And you can basically dedicate that property to each child and use the income streams that come from that property and dedicate that specifically to that child so that, like you said, if they choose to go to college, the money's already there for them.
Absolutely. You know, that's part of the legacy, Al. You know, I expect to be alive in the next 10 years or so, but if something happens, you know, these properties can be passed on to my kids. And if, you know, they can understand the map and know, you know, that they're going to be receiving monthly cash flow from these properties, they can also, you know, grow income and do their own refinances, understand the power of, you know, tax-free income and real estate investing just through, you know, that legacy I was telling you about.
So let's talk about real long-term. Let's go to that 10-year mark. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Even more retired than I am now. In 10 years, I expect to hopefully have a house at the beach and can live a more laid-back lifestyle than now. Really not be working in any of my properties or businesses, just working on them and making sure there's still third-party management taking care of all those items that need to be addressed. Probably get into quite a few more passive deals. I'm a passive investor in 6 now. Haven't thought about the 10-year mark, but I'd say by 10 years, I'd like to be in 20 passive deals and maybe only, you know, 3, max 4 IRO deals and not in single family whatsoever. I think it's a very achievable goal.
How important is mentoring to you?
Mentoring is very important. I like to talk to multiple mentors when I'm doing a deal to make sure that the numbers check out, information about the property checks out. Maybe there's a question that I haven't asked that a mentor is, quick to check in and say, hey, like, have you gotten answers to these questions? See, real estate is not, it's a team sport. It's not something you're going to be successful at if you do it solo. Mentorship to me is very important because mentors at Lifestyles Unlimited want to help you. They want to see you grow. They want you to make the right decisions. And they don't make the decision for you, but they help advise in the process. And I think that's very important because it gives you a better shot at making sure a deal will work.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% there. I mean, I've done the same thing. I've in the process of selling some properties, 1031 the money into other properties, and I've talked to mentors that are dedicated in the multifamily space because I wasn't sure if that was the direction I needed to go in. I talked to mentors in the single family space because, again, I wasn't sure if that's the direction I needed to go in. And they provide, that sounding board. And just like you said, it kind of completes the picture for you so that you're getting the feedback that you need so that you make a truly informed decision before you put your toe in the water.
I agree 100%. I wouldn't be where I am today if it weren't for my mentors. The decision to start multifamily was a little bit easier just because I didn't have the W-2 job. So I knew I wouldn't be able to get the leverage on single family properties in the conventional way. So it did make the decision easier. So I knew exactly which mentors and operations consultants I needed to talk to so I could get, started in the right direction in multifamily.
So we're almost to the end of the show. What would you say to somebody that's not convinced that real estate is the way to go?
Well, I mean, I'm just a regular guy, and I'm living proof that in under 3 years, I was able to, double my net worth, do a tax-free cash-out refinance on a property just by increasing income and forcing appreciation, which is not illegal at all. It is part of the multifamily investing landscape. You're not going to grow your wealth as fast as you would in a 401k. It's just as simple as that.
Yeah, I'd agree with you 100%. Hey, Gerard, I want to thank you for your time. I know you made a difference in somebody's life out there. And for those of you wanting to get started, go to freeworkshoplivestream.com.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.